Hello, hello. It's Andrew from XO Capital. And this week, I thought it might be useful to go through our acquisition of GrowthBar and do kind of a teardown based on the information that we had at the time. And it's just kind of a fun, useful exercise for us to, in the future, look back and say, why did we buy this business? What were the metrics at that time? And see if we can, over time, get better, of course, at buying the right types of company. So GrowthBar, it doesn't really matter what the tool does, but it's sort of a combination of like a keyword research tool and an AI content writing tool. So something like Surfer SEO plus, you know, any kind of AI writer, there's a ton of them now, but all in one tool, which is quite nice that you can do the keyword research and then actually do the articles based on the keyword research right in the same tool. That is why I fell in love with this product, that and of course the time to value. But starting from the top, XO buys SaaS companies. So we bought 10, and this was our 10th acquisition and our biggest one so far. And so this is not necessarily 100% of the data that we had when we bought it. We had a little bit more, but you know, for the blog post's sake, you can take a look and get a pretty good sense of why we bought it. And these numbers are real. So it's actually helpful to look at, you know, exact numbers for what the MRR was, what the asking price was, et cetera, growth rate. So at a high level, here's what we liked about the business. It was doing about 25,000 of MRR. The asking price was reasonable. The product had a really fast time to value for customers. So I really enjoy when you can almost have a stopwatch from when you enter your email address in a signup form to when you actually get value from the product. The lower that number, the better. Some of our fastest growing products just have the shortest time to value for customers. And, you know, to be honest, a lot of these products they're all B2B, but they're kind of prosumerish. And I think it's really important to have a very fast, almost consumer-esque experience, even though they are technically B2B products. GrowthBar has mostly direct organic traffic. That's always awesome. Low customer concentration and a reasonable growth rate year over year. Of course, these businesses are quite young, so you can take the kind of year over year growth rate with a grain of salt. But having some kind of growth rate like this, over 100%, is a good sign for us. Also a big deal, the original contractor who built the thing was willing to continue helping us on an hourly basis. And that just makes it so much easier for us to operate the business because we have shared services. So we have somebody that does customer support across the entire portfolio. We have a few engineers that bounce between different products, but we have more products than we do engineers. And so there's always somebody or some product getting neglected. And it was really nice on this one that the original contractor who built the thing can immediately start helping us build new features at a reasonable hourly rate. And that is just a huge weight off of the shoulders of our shared services team. And we can focus on, Danny and I can focus on just execution, product ideas, growth, et cetera. So taking a look at the financials, 219,000 trailing 12-month gross revenue, 24,000 net profit. You know, net profit, when you're looking at these companies, doesn't really matter that much. If you're buying a SaaS and you're trying to grow it at any reasonable rate, it's not going to be very cash flowy. Last month's gross revenue, 25,000, healthy number. Last month, net profit, 16,000. They took off ad spend, didn't have much engineering costs. And so what's nice about that number, around 16 take home, is it's enough for us to put a little bit of debt on it. So we did do some seller financing on this deal, and that was really helpful. Number of customers, 100 to 1,000. So there were several hundred customers, and annual recurring revenue, 299 is a little bit of a stretch. I'd say 275 is more realistic. But again, these were the numbers we knew at the time. And then had to dig into the P&L to say, actually, this 299 number is a little bit high. That doesn't make sense. With any of these small acquisitions, so this is an under $1 million purchase price, what are we really buying? We're buying some tech. There's probably no moat. I would consider all of it a commodity. And there's maybe some old code, depending on how old the thing is. There's some customers, so hundreds in this case. We want low customer concentration. We like product-led growth stuff. And we don't want to see five customers that represents, you know, 20% of the business each. We lose one of those. It's huge, meaningful loss. Now, on the flip side, though, there is something to be said for those types of companies where you might be able to acquire five more customers and double the business. That's a really reasonable number. And it's very different in terms of how we might structure XO's shared services to attack those kinds of opportunities. But we're looking at that for our flip fund as one way to try and double a business in 12 to 24 months or relatively short time horizon. What's the third thing that we're buying? It's at least one channel. So for us, I don't really care if it's paid or in this case, it's all direct. I just want to see one channel working because I don't want to have to go spend the dollars to figure out the channel that works. I can and should be able to look at hard numbers on the work that the previous owners have already done and say either that works for us or that doesn't work for us. But I always want to buy at least one channel that's working. So again, in this case, healthy direct traffic. We'll get into this in a second, but you know, if people don't really think about direct traffic as platform risk, but it totally is. All of that is coming from Google. And particularly with Growth Bar or with respect to Growth Bar, AI content generation and Google search are changing. And Growth Bar is sort of in the intersection of that. This is quite a risky bet, actually, with so much influx, so much competition, a lot of venture dollars flowing into the space. But I think it's exciting and I think the opportunity is large. And there are plenty of competitors that are doing 10 million plus ARR. And I really love seeing that when there really is no clear winner. This is not a winner take all market. You can differentiate on UX, customer support, all the kind of usual suspects. And frankly, some people are just going to prefer one tool to another, even if they have feature parity. And so I don't mind getting out there and going competing. There's a really solid competition. So price. Price is basically the biggest lever you can pull to reduce risk, right? So if we buy something for 1x ARR and we don't royally screw it up, it's going to be fine, right? The worst case scenario is that, I mean, not the absolute worst case scenario, but if we maintain business as usual, we'll start making money in year two. That's awesome. So in a case where we're buying at a slightly higher multiple because it's a slightly bigger business, you have to be a little bit more patient. But without growth, I can still turn this from a kind of lousy investment to a decent investment to a great investment if I'm able to be patient. And yes, of course, there's all kinds of opportunity costs with that. With that capital, could we put it somewhere else where it can be more productive or grow faster? Potentially, right? But we can evaluate that on a case-by-case basis. But on the margin, you can turn a bad deal into a good deal if you are patient. Let's talk about channel. Again, I kind of went into the platform risk that is inherent whenever you have direct search traffic, right? Search rankings change, and the thing that you were ranking for one day may not be the thing that you rank for tomorrow. Just ask anybody that used to own a content site anytime there was like a, you know, the great Panda update or all those different SERP updates that really screw people's businesses and tank them in some cases. And any business that has a lot of direct traffic, which again is free and amazing, is also platform risk, huge platform risk. So part of our story here and our journey will be venturing out outside of Google's direct traffic, other social media channels, et cetera, just to get some kind of hedge and of course try and grow, but also as a hedge against any of the rankings or the page that we're currently ranking really highly for and bringing a lot of traffic, just a hedge to kind of spread out the source of our customers across different social channels, in addition to reinvesting in content, of course, et cetera. Our main conviction around Growth Bar was mostly that A, Google is going to be around for a while. B, generative AI has some place in content creation and people will need some of these tools to play around in this SERP space and play this SERP game. And I think Growth Bar can be that tool for a lot of people. Many of our happiest customers are ones that were using like a writing tool and some kind of keyword research tool. And they were able to buy Growth Bar and cancel both of those. And so it's like, it was just a sort of straight B2B value prop where it's like same tool, but it's two tools in one. So you can decrease your costs and get the same products by going with Growth Bar instead of piecing two tools together. The P&L, this was the P&L at the time we purchased the business. So up to May, 2023, there's some healthy gross profit in here. The biggest expense, unsurprisingly, engineering. They were doing some marketing stuff too, some paid marketing experiments that yielded, you know, not very meaningful results, but it was okay. Like they did sort of work and those got turned off in May. So that was kind of why that last month there was that healthy net profit. But there is enough room here, I think, to be able to layer on some debt, which is what we did in the form of seller financing. So we did 18 months of seller financing, which means we're really not going to see any profit from this for 18 months. This is always a very tough period because every month we're like plus or minus a few thousand. Sometimes we have to write little checks to our GP to cover. And sometimes there's a little bit of profit left over, but it's really a tough 18 months to work on this product while trying to grow it without spending any cash. So the current risks, Google search is changing and under threat. And content generation is getting a lot of eyeballs. So it's possibly saturated, lots of competition, lots of venture dollars coming in. This is normally not something that worries me, but I for XO, this is a slightly funky purchase in that we are looking at something relatively cutting edge or using something relatively cutting edge, right? With OpenAI and ChatGPT, it's a commodity now in some ways, right? It's very easy to incorporate that technology into any product now or build a new product on top of it. And GrowthBar got a huge kind of initial gust of wind when they got early access to OpenAI and were able to be one of the first SEO tools that combined AI writing all in one. And that gave them a really nice tailwind. And that's what we're continuing to draft off of. So the real question is, would you buy it? This was enough information for us. Of course, we went into and verified all the bank information, did some more customer diligence and talked to customers and all that stuff. But it is scary moving up stack and doing larger deals. And it is a little disheartening to see our first material change where we didn't require credit cards to have this long of a lag. We went from when you sign up, you have to sign up with a credit card, otherwise you can't get in, to more of a freemium, like just come in, here's a 14-day free trial. And of course, we're combating spam and people with multiple accounts, et cetera, et cetera. But this is where we are today. And it's been really painful to see these Stripe numbers, which I'll get into in a second, were really terribly, terribly incorrect. They state, if I log in now, that there was 38,000 of MRR. And that is wildly, wildly untrue. So in some ways, this terrible looking chart is actually just Stripe's data starting to reflect the reality of the business. So if you look at Profitwell, the current MRR 25.4K, down 4% from July. So this is a much more realistic view of the actual business than 38K that's just taking a nosedive down to 27. So if all goes well, this should start to tick up. We should start to see more of these 14-day free trial people start to convert and pay. And then, of course, if that's not true, I think our next move is we'll try and make it a 7-day free trial. And then if that doesn't work either, we will put back the credit card, forcing the credit card to be able to sign up. It just tends to be the case that those people that were paying with their credit card up front tended to be people from real companies, right? They would put in their business address. It was just like very kind of clean type of customer, where all of these people tend to be like, you know, whatever at gmail.com. People are trying to save like 39 cents by creating 8 different accounts and piecing together a blog post in that way. It's very strange to see that kind of behavior. But dealing with bad data, particularly with the Stripe dashboard, depending on how you have everything set up, frankly, it's just useless to log in and get any real sense of the progress you're making on the business. You really have to look at your amount of real subscribers. So even this active subscriber number is a little funky, because when a user is on a free trial, Stripe may calculate that as recurring revenue. And even if they cancel, all the dunning emails for, you know, several weeks still have to go out before Stripe will consider that customer churned or not converted. And so all of the numbers in our Stripe dashboard around conversion and active subscribers and growth and MRR are just totally, totally wrong. You just got to go straight to the bank accounts and take a look at cash collections. And of course, yes, there's going to be some lumpiness to the annual subscriptions, et cetera, but that is much, much better than taking a look at really awful Stripe data. And that's it. Have a great weekend. If you have any suggestions on what I should write about next about M&A or acquiring small SaaS businesses, just let me know.